critical pieces of information that you can use from nursing home cost reports. Stick around. Hey out there, folks. Welcome back to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. My name is Rob. I will be your host for this episode. We're going to be talking about nursing home cost reports, Medicare and Medicaid cost reports. What are they? What information is put in them? Who writes them? Who submits them? What does it all mean? But we're not doing that by ourselves. We have the expert. This is the first person that I ever heard talking about using nursing home cost reports in litigation ever. Now, I'm not saying that he's the one, but he's the first one that I ever heard of. And he's now a nationwide leading expert on the subject. His name is Ernie Tosh, a trial lawyer out of Texas. And I'm so happy to have him on the show. But before we get into that, let's get into the nursing home regulation question of the week. The difficulty level for this one, I think, is also going to be medium hard. I think this can be kind of spicy. So if you get this right, 75 points. Under 42 USC 483.35G3, a nursing home must make available upon request the total number and actual hours worked by RNs, LPNs, and CNAs for A, the previous 18 months, for B, the previous 12 months, or C, the previous 6 months. And the answer is A, the nursing home must post and make available the number of hours worked by the nursing staff on a daily basis. And that information must go back 18 months and they must make it available. All right, now it's time for the ChatGPT generated nursing home regulation joke of the week. Just a gentle reminder, everybody, that this is AI's attempt to blend humor and United States code. So set your expectations to disappointed, possibly offended. And so, Gene, hit it.
The ChatGPT generated nursing home regulation joke of the week.
Skynet.
Under regulation 42 USC 483.15-1B, getting kicked out for being too healthy is the new nursing home brag. You're too fit for us. Time to go. It's like being expelled from the buffet for eating too little. Finally, a place where feeling good is your ticket out.
And there you are, folks. Further proof that the singularity is as far away as a Texas mile. I am so happy to have Ernie Tosh on the show. Ernie Tosh, as I mentioned, is a trial lawyer out of Texas. Ernie, a Texas Tech University and Texas Tech University School of Law graduate, began his legal career at the Tarrant County District Attorney's Office. Now leading the Tosh Law Firm, he focuses on nursing home abuse cases nationwide. With over 150 jury trials and millions recovered for elderly victims, Ernie consults with attorneys across the United States. He's a member of the American Association for Justice and the American Bar Association and a frequent lecturer on forensic accounting and nursing home litigation. Outside work, Ernie enjoys family time and open water swimming. Ernie, welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be here.
I said this before I brought you on the show that you might not be the first person that's ever used a nursing home cost report in litigation, but you're the first person that I've known to do it. And you're the only one that I know of that is I consider a true expert in this field. Like, you've dedicated probably tens of thousands of hours into understanding nursing home cost reports. So I'm so happy that you're on today to talk about this stuff. But for the uninitiated, perhaps if there's a family member of somebody that's in a nursing home, or even maybe a new attorney that's just starting out doing nursing home litigation, from a broad standpoint, what is a nursing home cost report?
Sure. So the federal government, through CMS, the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, requires that each nursing home in the United States that receives money from either Medicaid or Medicare, they have to file a financial filing each year with CMS. And that is what is called a cost report. And it details their income, how much of it came from Medicare, how much came from Medicaid, how much came from other sources. How many bed days did they have beds filled? Their expenses, their ancillary revenues and expenses, which is like therapy and stuff like that. And it even goes into are they having transactions with companies that they are related to, meaning that the chain that owns the facility, say it's Pruitt Health, they own the nursing home, but they also own the management company and the therapy company and the pharmacy. They're supposed to also detail those transactions in the cost report. And then there's also some information on staffing of RNs, LPNs, and CNAs. And so all of that is in the annual cost report that is filed with CMS. And there's about 16,000 nursing homes across the country that have to file this each year. I lost your microphone. Can't hear you.
That's because I was coughing and then I forgot to unmute myself. So,
Sure.
okay, so if you're a nursing home and you accept money from CMS, this is a document that you file every year with CMS with minimum information with respect to your operations. So, how does one get a copy of this? Like, what's the easiest way that this information can be received?
Okay, so there's really only two ways to get, well, let me back up. I failed to mention that there's also a cost report that's filed each year in each state with your state Medicaid funding agency. So it may be with, like the Georgia Department of Health would have one. And depending on which state we're talking about, some of those cost reports are pretty much useless. Some of them have some decent staffing information. But so there's, when you talk about cost reports, you kind of need to specify federal or state. I deal mostly with the federal cost reports. And the best way to get those is you do a Freedom of Information request, FOIA, FOIA for short, a FOIA request to CMS for that document. And the official title of the document is CMS Form 2540-10, so 2540-10. And so that is, you write it, a note to CMS, hey, I'd like to have this cost report sent to me, and they will eventually send it to you, but it may take months. I don't know if they just had some people leave and they never filled those positions, but getting FOIA requests filled now takes forever. There's a second way to get them, but almost nobody is going to be able to do this because you would have to build a database, either a SQL database or an Oracle database, that mimics CMS's database and then download all the cost reports, not just the one you wanted, all 100,000 of them. And nobody really wants to do that except for me. And so I have done that. We did that process about a decade ago, and we have every cost report that's ever been filed in the United States in our database. And so I can access that information readily. If there are individuals out there that are looking for a specific facility, specific information, I would tell them, just reach out to me. I pull cost reports for people all the time and just send them to them because we've already got them. So if you need them and you don't feel like waiting, 6 months for CMS to respond to your request, just send me an email. My email is ernest@bedsore.law, and let me know what you need and I'll try to help you out.
That's very kind of you. That again, that's Ernest at Bedsore Law.
Bedsore.law.
Bedsore.law. Okay.
Yep.
So what's your typical strategy in a nursing home negligence case? as it pertains to the cost report? Like, what are some of the ways that you're using the cost report to further your case?
So first off, from a really high level standard or high level view, I see a nursing home case as actually being two cases in one. You have the medical malpractice negligence side of the case. So your resident went there for therapy, ends up getting bed sores, they get infected. We go down that path. We've seen that hundreds of times. That's kind of the medicine side of your case and the general negligence side of your case. The other side of the case is corporate malfeasance. And corporate malfeasance drives the medical side of your case. Okay. Somebody doesn't accidentally get a bed sore. They get a bed sore because the corporation has made business decisions that caused that injury. And those business decisions are almost always reduction of staffing. And so what I do is looking at this as two different cases. I've got my medical case, I have my expert doctors and expert nurses that I use. But then on the cost report business side of it, I use those cost reports, you know, to identify related parties. So who's the management company? Who are the owners of this entire structure? And start trying to piece together, you know, who is involved in this. For the attorneys that may be listening to this, you also want to get CMS Form 855-A and specifically look at Section 5. So what that is that is a filing that these nursing homes make that says, this is who has day-to-day operational control of this facility.
And that form itself is not a part of the normal cost report. That's a separate form.
No, it's a separate form.
Oh, wow.
And it, again, 855-A, and it tells you, and they file it, they sign it. It's the facility's paperwork. So it tells you, sometimes it lists the management company, sometimes it lists the individual owners. And so they are representing to CMS that these are the people who have day-to-day control. Then I use the cost reports to start piecing together how much money they make, how much money they're spending on staffing, and then use that to start backing into who is making the budgetary decisions. Because the key to these cases is whoever sets the budget caused my person's injury. I have to know who's setting the budget. Is the budget set at the management company? Is it set at the management company, but the approval has to come from the owners? And so that's where I go and start digging through, you know, in written discovery and also in corporate rep depths.
It almost sounds like it's three different cases where you have the medical malpractice, you have the case of the understaffing, and then you have the case of, is the money going out and therefore you can't pay for staffing because of putting money in the pockets of the owners? It almost sounds like three inquiries.
Well, and so how I look at, I agree, there are three sections. I think that last section actually jumps over to establishing punitive damages.
I see.
So I have my medical case, my corporate malfeasance case, and then my punitive damages, because I believe if the facility is purposely draining funds from the nursing home through related parties, okay, let's say that you have a lease in place, the company that owns the facility and land is leasing to the nursing home, they're both owned by the same company, and they're charging twice as much rent as the market is. So let's say $1 million a year should be the rent, but they're charging $2 million a year. And so at the end of the year, it looks like they lost, you know, $100,000 that year. Wow, they need more money from the government. Well, you know, they lost $100,000. It's not true. They actually made a $900,000 profit because they overpaid that related party by $1 million. And that $900,000 has been moved out of the facility, probably up to the owners, and realized as a profit through the property leasing company. And now they're sitting there with not enough staffing. You know, maybe they needed another $500,000 of staffing to meet their actual needs. And they're saying, we didn't have the money to pay that. Well, if you understand cost reports, related party transactions, and you know, you're familiar with how this money moves through these corporations, you can easily show that's not true. That's a lie. You had the money, but you made a conscious decision not to staff appropriately and instead take that money as profit.
So there's,
and so I think that is punitive damages because you made a conscious decision,
right,
not to spend the money on staff.
So on the cost report, if you can visualize it, there's going to be a section that shows you the related party. In other words, in your example, it would be the leasing company, or it could be a management company, consulting company, physical therapy, as long as they have some type of common ownership. Yep. Then it shows you how much that company was paid by the nursing home, but also what the fair market value of that was, which usually is not the same.
Fair market value. Okay. I wish it showed
that,
fair
that's, market that was value. Actually going to be my question.
I wish it showed that. What it actually shows is the cost incurred by the related party to make that service available to the nursing home.
Okay.
So in our scenario here, we've got a facility and a property company owned by the same entity. Let's say that it was $1 million to pay the mortgage, the insurance, the taxes, upkeep, whatever for that building. It's $1 million. The cost report's going to show property company paid $1 million to make this available. And then the next column's going to show you they paid $2 million for it. And in the next column after that, it's going to show you that's $1 million more,
right,
than the cost that it would that they incurred to make it available. I wish CMS either did a study themselves or forced the facilities to determine fair market value and put that in there, because there is CMS regulations that say you cannot charge. A related party cannot charge more than fair market value for that service. But we know they absolutely are. But for us in individual litigation, it's not economical for us to go do a study to figure out what is the fair market value of rent in, you know, Macon, Georgia for a nursing home.
Right. That's stuff that you try to elicit, like, hey, who did you talk to? How many leasing companies did you talk to?
Exactly. Who did this study, and how do you know? And when did you renegotiate it and all that?
That's why I love this podcast. I learn something every time, because I've always referred to that as the fair market value. But as you mentioned, it's just the cost it takes to provide the service, but as reported by the related party. So,
that's the other problem, Rob. These are unaudited by CMS. So these facilities can just pull any number out of the air and say, oh yeah, our cost was $1 million.
But that's, I guess that's what I'm, that's the interesting thing for me is why wouldn't, in I don't know, there might not be an answer to this, but now that I know that it's not fair market value, it's cost incurred, why doesn't the related party just match what they're paid?
Some of them do. We see facilities around the country. You know, I'm looking at these, you know, every day. So I come across pretty much every type of scenario you could imagine. I'm probably come across. But yeah, there are some facilities that just pay exactly what the cost is to the related party. And there is no pass-through profit. It is just that was the cost. Boom, we go on down the road. But that is not common. The common way is to, you know what your costs are and then overpay. And the whole idea here is that you are manipulating the income statement. Because the income statement, you know, is saying how much this facility profited or lost in a year. These related party transactions are expenses. If you overpay the related party, you balloon your expenses, and now you show little to no profits. Now you can take your income statement to your local legislator and cry about how you're losing money and need more state and federal money. But the problem is we don't know as a chain how much money they're actually profiting because there is no reporting in place for related parties or chains as a whole. And so, you know, it becomes almost impossible for us to fight against that industry talking point of we're losing money, we're losing money, we're losing money. But at the same token, there are multiple individual nursing home owners who are billionaires. You don't become billionaires by losing money on every facility. That doesn't make sense. So what makes sense is you're not telling us the truth.
Right.
So that becomes an issue with all those related party transactions. It shouldn't be illegal to have related parties. It shouldn't be illegal to, you know, pay your related parties. The problem is that the way that CMS has them reporting this information, it allows the facilities to manipulate the income statement to say whatever they want it to say. If I want to lose $1 million, I can lose $1 million. That's the problem there. And so with attorneys who are doing this type of litigation, getting familiar with this information provides a whole nother tool chest of weapons to use in litigation and in your depositions and in your written discovery, because you're going to start delving into areas that they don't want to talk about. They don't want you to know about. They don't want it to become public. And it is very much in line with proving that they made conscious decisions that injured or killed my client. And that's very different than just a medical negligence case. You know, this is very different. And as far as family members who might be listening to this, do not believe the facility when they tell you they don't have the money for X, whether it's more CNAs, whether it's more nurse staffing, whether it's more supplies, whatever the case is, the chances are they're lying to you. They have the money, but the problem is the people in the facility, including the director of nursing and facility administrator, are not aware of that because they are being lied to by the corporation.
Some of this information, particularly the information from the other form you're talking about, the A55, that information ultimately makes its way to Nursing Home Compare. Is that the
yes? Same?
Okay.
Yes. So Nursing Home Compare, if you look on there, it'll say, you know, like on the second page, I think if you click through the link that goes to ownership and management, mm-hmm. that information about who is the managing individual of the facility, that comes from 855A Section 5.
Gotcha.
Absolutely. And just for anybody who is going to get a cost report and look at them, the related party transactions that we're talking about, these cost reports are like Excel spreadsheets. They have tabs on them. And the tab you're looking for, or the worksheet in CMS terminology that you're looking for related parties, is A as in alpha, dash the number 8, dash the number 1. A81 has your related party payments on there.
And this is how you know that Ernie is an absolute expert, is that he's doing this off the top of his dome. Like, he's not referencing any paper in front of him. He knows all of these numbers by heart.
Well, I've testified about this stuff a lot. So, and for the last 12 years, I mean, doing financial and staffing analysis for my, cases as well as thousands of other cases. We also work with AG's offices all over the country, the Nursing Home Fraud Task Force in California. We do, fraud analysis all the time, all the
So,
time, all the
who
time.
so tell me who is we? Like, do who what, like is this?
So
Yeah, go ahead.
I, my so so I have two sons and a daughter. My oldest son is an attorney and he practices in my law firm with me. My second son is a data scientist, has a computer science degree, and then a master's in data science. He works with me in a second company that I have called Full Financials that does nothing but analysis on nursing homes. So we support AG investigations, ombudsman's investigations, class actions. Individual attorneys like yourself, we work with hundreds of attorneys across the country, helping them understand what's happening in each of their cases. And we also help with academic research. We work with academians across the country to help them do big data analysis, sometimes using just the data we have, but also data that they may have access to that we are not able to get access to.
So at some point, CMS dumps all this information out into the ether in unintelligible spreadsheets, and you and your and maybe not you, but your son, the data scientist, has figured out a way to cull this and turn it back into information about these individual nursing homes.
Right. When I first started looking at cost reports, which was about 2011 or 2012. The only people who actually understood this stuff were CPAs.
Right.
And in Texas, our damage caps are so low, we couldn't afford to hire a CPA expert to do this. And so I started doing analysis on my own cases because I have a degree in finance with significant hours in accounting and economics. So I can read spreadsheets. I also program computers. So I actually wrote the first programs that did the automatic analysis of the financial and staffing stuff. It was all mine. Then when my son got involved, he took it to an entirely different level. And the stuff that he's currently working on is absolutely mind-blowing what he's able to do. And we're trying, I mean, we actually sued CMS to get more data. We went through a 3-year lawsuit with them so that we could get all the minimum data sets that are produced. And we ended up getting over 250 million
Right.
minimum data sets that we now use to do staffing analysis. We're currently trying to get access to even more data, but we'll see. CMS has put it behind a firewall, and is swearing they will never give it to us. So I may have to sue them again.
I think you could track like the number of 30B6 depositions taken in nursing home cases, and you can see there's a hockey stick increase after Mark Kozorowski's book.
Yep.
And
Yes.
I think it's the same thing with you. As soon as Ernie Tosh came on the scene with cost reports, like it changed the ball game. Like, I mean,
Yeah, nobody had really heard about this. Well, I mean, I'll take it back. There were people who were talking about cost reports in seminars, but they were really just scratching the surface of it. And that's where I first came in contact with it because I wasn't doing this kind of litigation. A friend of mine was doing this litigation and basically bribed me with lunch one day to read a cost report and tell him what it said. And after I did that, I became very, very interested in it. And because I'm an ex-prosecutor, and when you look at related party transactions, it actually mimics organized crime and how they launder money. And so I became very interested in it because it was like, why are they moving so much money through these related parties. And so anyway, here I am, you know, what, 12 years later, and I know why. It's all about getting more money from the taxes.
Okay, so we've seen the critical information, the related parties, the staffing levels, this type of thing. Are there any movements, or is there any advocates who are demanding or advocating that the cost report go further in terms of the information that the nursing home has to provide to the government?
Yeah, actually, so I started advocating for what are called consolidated cost reports, which would be a cost report that goes from the very top of a chain and cover all the related parties, all their intermediate companies, all the way down to the nursing homes. And we wanted those cost reports audited by an outside CPA company. So not just make up whatever numbers you want and give them to CMS, you have to go get this audited and then send it to CMS. At the same time, we're also advocating for better transparency of ownership. So we actually have two different legislative initiatives, one for financial transparency and the other one for ownership transparency. California has passed a version of that that is pretty good. New Jersey has it in committee and may be voting on it very soon.
Wow.
New York has moved on it. Pennsylvania we're working with legislators in Pennsylvania to introduce it. Right after the first year, I was up in Connecticut and spoke with several legislators up there, and we believe we have great traction to get it introduced and hopefully passed in Connecticut. And Consumer Voice has now picked up that fight, and we are working with them. We being my oldest son, Ben, and I, who both do advocacy work, we are now working with Consumer Voice to work with them to assist more states in introducing these two pieces of legislation, because ultimately they will allow the legislators and the taxpayers to have a clear understanding of where taxpayer money is going, how much profit the ownership is making in nursing homes, and decide if these nursing homes really need more money, or do they need better oversight of how they're spending their money. And so, because right now, we don't have any way of knowing that. All we've got is the industry saying we need more money, and we don't know why.
Right.
So, yeah, so that's out there, and we are pushing that. Consumer Voice is really on the forefront of that with us. And if we can get it passed really in 6 or 8 major states that have a lot of nursing homes, like California, Ohio, New York, Pennsylvania, we will capture the largest chains in the country. And then we will know exactly what the picture is, which is why nursing homes are spending tens of millions of dollars in lobbyists to keep us from getting that information.
and the fight goes on.
Absolutely. Well,
Ernie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you bet, Rob. It's great. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, I hope you found the content of this episode educational. If you want to get in touch with Ernie Tosh, you can email him at ErnestTosh@ToshLawFirm.com. Again, that's ErnestTosh@ToshLawFirm.com, or just go to ToshLawFirm.com and fill out a contact form. That would probably be the easiest thing. New episodes of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast come out every Monday. They are wherever you get your podcast from, but they're also able to be viewed either at NursingHomeAbusePodcast.com or on YouTube. If you have any suggestions for topics that you would like me to cover, please let me know. If you have any guests that you would like me to have on the show, please let me know that as well. And with that, folks, we'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal or medical advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes, for now, are available every other Monday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.